Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show. Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Springhill, Josh, and the Aluma Mommy herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's a therapy. Studio 2022, gathered with the skeptic, the mom, the beard, for a therapy episode. Mm. And also, I'm back.
Welcome back.
Wow.
It's not too far from the truth.
Yeah. So I got COVID. Not fun. Don't recommend. It's
you're playing all my greatest hits, Larry. Yeah. All my favorites.
Oh. Gotta love the tail of that one.
Yep.
No, guys, I'm back again.
Mm-hmm.
I loved listening to my friends on the show without me, but I missed you. And it's weird when you listen to an episode where you're on the actual show and you're like, I know what I would say right here.
Yep.
But it's, you know, 9 times out of 10, Larry says it and it's better. So, okay, 10 times out of 10. Can't all be
Lawrence.
That's
why we keep Larry around.
But yeah, no, I found, okay, so my COVID story. So, no joke. That Sunday before it happened, I went to a party that Marty and Liz were hosting.
Did you mask up?
No.
Were you responsible?
Nope.
Were you super boosted?
Nope.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. Just interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So I went to see them spin vinyl at a vinyl night at a local establishment.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job. And the next day was Monday. I went to work and I was like, oh man, why am I so tired? I mean, we imbibed, but it wasn't like Ryan post-divorce imbibing.
It wasn't Rad Dad 2018.
Yeah, no. It was more
which Rad Dad doesn't remember.
Yeah, 2018 died.
2018 question mark?
But that day I remember feeling kind of weak and just something was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then I literally remember Casey and I were watching something and I was like, this is not like me. I was mm-hmm. like, time for bed. Like mm-hmm. rather than finish what we're watching or anything.
Right.
Yep. And then about 2 or 3 in the morning, I woke up and did the whole chills through my whole body, shot to the bathroom, stood there for a minute, checked my temperature, 103. Mm-hmm. Something's weird.
Yep.
I asked if she had any COVID tests and she did, thankfully. took it negative initially. And then she's talking to me through the door and she goes, your sister said, instead of just swabbing your nose, you should swab the top of your throat real quick. Because most people don't think to do that.
Right.
Did it again. Super positive. And I could feel it. Like it immediately, like when it really shows its ugly head, it's definitely a lungs, throat thing. Mm-hmm. So text my boss, head home, send him all the pictures of the positive strip. I was lucky because the same night before we had made a huge thing of white chicken chili. Mm-hmm. So she just dumped it into a big thing for me.
There you go. See you in 10 days.
See you in 10 days. I go home. I got that in the fridge and pretty much that first Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are a sweaty coffee blur. Mm-hmm. Fevers going into the bathroom. Trudging to and fro, hacking. My throat, like the back of my throat was just on fucking fire. Mm-hmm. It's gross. Yeah. And, you know, inevitably it wasn't the, it is worse than a flu, but it's not. It's for somebody like me, I'm blessed. I walk around a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm in pretty good shape. It wasn't the end of the world, but it's rough. Mm-hmm. And I get it. And I'm glad I'm boosted and I got my shot. So at the end of the day, it was my COVID vacation. Yeah. But like I said, the isolation sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see anybody. Josh's, I think, was worse just being in the same place with his family and not being able to see them.
Yeah, being confined to a single room. And I mean, the only time I came out was to go to the bathroom and to take showers to either cool my body down or because I was so sweaty, you know, I just felt stinky. But yeah, other than that, I would come down in the mornings to bring down
laundry, like,
laundry, throw it in the wash and then go right back up there.
Yeah. So yeah. I ingested a lot of media. Mm-hmm. I watched the first two seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Very nice.
Very funny.
Watched Terrifier too.
I did.
Hey, I watched that too.
Yeah, I got a little sick again watching. Actually watched that way too late and then immediately texted you guys like, don't watch this. It's the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Which you should have known better. April
immediately
was like,
Josh was like, I can't wait to watch that.
I think I watched it the next day and mm-hmm. April's like, not gonna, I don't care. Yep, I laughed.
You can watch that while I'm at work. I'm good.
There's a lot of those scenes I laughed at.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Props to them because we do know a few of the producers via just being friends with them, their podcast Forever Midnight. They produced part of Terrifier and nice. Terrifier 2. And actually, the guy that did the soundtrack is like Marilyn Manson's ex-guitarist or something nice. Like that. It's crazy.
Not like John 5?
I don't know if it's John 5. It's something like that. Some guy in that zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have it pulled up.
I'm
My
sure
bad.
If I... Yeah, it doesn't really matter. If I looked it up, I would know who he is, but I'm...
But I watched a lot of movies. I listened to some great podcasts.
And nice. Ours?
So, yes.
I'm assuming that's what you're referring to when you say great podcasts.
Yeah, you got to listen to it.
So, you know.
They're great. Uh-huh. But that's, I don't know. I came back to work Monday and I was like a little salty. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a weird, like after you take a vacation, you're a little slow because you're like maybe too many casseroles.
We always call that the vacation letdown. Mm. Like the day before you go back to work, like vacation's done. I'm depressed. This is sad. Wah, wah.
I think I was happy to be back to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a joy in work, which right. a lot of people don't think to. They're like, oh, vacation. If I could just be on vacation all the time. It's like, no, mm-hmm. you got to have something to like, you got to have a regimen.
Sure.
Even if it's just getting out of bed and, you know, finger painting all day. You got to have some idea. So,
right.
But it's good to be back. It's good to see you guys. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why they say a lot of people, once they retire, they die. there's a lot of people that die not long after because it's like they lose their
sense of purpose.
Yeah. They feel like they have nothing left. So I don't know. Probably just start eating more unhealthy and.
Yeah.
Well, I always say that, like, I mean, we can go around the horn. Mm-hmm. What would you like to do when you retire?
Let's start with Larry.
Aaron and I are planning on working for the White Caps.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I know it's not retirement, but you know what I
mean? No, like that's amazing.
A part-time job working for the White Caps.
That would be really cool.
Anything in particular that you want to do there? Like ticket booth
I'll sweep. I don't care.
Yeah. Nice. What would Aaron do? What could I see Aaron doing at the White Caps?
I could see her being one of the greeters in the entrance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'd like to be a mascot, but...
That would be amazing.
Yeah, till it's like 103.
Yeah, right?
Hey, that 65-year-old man in that ball head suit just fell over.
Fell over and had a heart attack and died.
Oh, well, I mean...
He was doing what he loved.
It'd be your favorite place.
Smelling badly in a furry costume.
I mean, I'm sure the going rate's better than a band playing at an open night.
Yeah.
True.
What about you, April?
Oh, what do I want to do when I retire? Travel, I think, if we have the means to do so. My in-laws have a really nice camper, a fifth wheel. And we're not like outdoorsy people, but like get me a nice fifth wheel and park it somewhere and I could get down with that. Because even we've said like when we go to visit them, it's so... Like, it's like a different world, even though it's like 10 minutes away from our house. It just feels so much different when you're there and relaxing and like away from...
Rent one.
Yeah.
Like you
because
feel
buying one is just like... It's like that like when you buy a boat, it's just a giant waste of money.
Right, exactly. Sure. Well, I'm hoping we inherit one. Mm.
The thing that's about it, it's like you almost feel guilty. Like when we go there and I'm just kind of like I'll sit in a lawn chair...
Yeah, and you just
outside,
sit.
I'm like, I feel like, are we supposed to be doing something?
Where's my TV? Right.
Well, because that's the thing.
They have a TV there. And that's the thing.
That's what I tell Josh is like, for me personally, I can't relax at home. I can't because I'm always thinking about, oh, there's laundry I got to do. Oh, there's dishes in the sink. I like, if I'm up, I'm cleaning. So to be somewhere where I don't feel obligated to do that is very relaxing for me.
April, stop sweeping the ground. The dirt belongs there.
Quit dusting the fire pit.
Yeah.
Like Snow White with the squirrels and birds yep. following you around. Josh.
You know, I feel like for a long time, I've always said that if I were to retire from the post office, and I'm, you know, in my 60s.
You'll retire from the post office.
I feel like I would not be crazy about just sitting at home. And... So I feel like at that point, I would probably be interested in taking on like a part-time thing, like working in a music store, especially because like if I'm in my 60s and it's like a retro store.
So you'd be working at Spotify.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, you're not far off from mm-hmm. that. But I like to think that I could be working in a place where I can talk about music and...
Well, you see, the download numbers in 2018 for Dream Theater actually escalated when the algorithm...
the algorithm took over.
I could see you working in like a retro game
this remix
place too.
Yeah, a game store would be mm-hmm. really cool too.
Yeah.
So you'd be working at an Xbox store.
Yeah.
Yeah, live arcades.
Everything's going to be downloading by the time... I know. Oh, we retire. That's the problem.
Well, like for our anniversary, we went to this retro arcade.
Oh my God. It was so fun. We have to triple date there.
Is that the one?
Have to.
Beautiful.
God.
That was in Goebbels.
That was
Lowell, though. We went to the Goebbels one, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
With the RC cars that were outside.
And the freaking kick-ass selection of sodas.
We went, so the one that we went to in Lowell, it's ran by just this one guy who's super into pinball machines. And he's got a rotating selection of pinballs and arcade games that's all free to play. Well, you like pay one
fee. You pay a flat rate and everything. It's just free tokens.
And the whole entrance of the place is like vintage toys that are for sale.
Hmm. Yeah, everything that he has there, you can buy.
And then they have like big long tables and like tons of board games and like card games that you can play. He's got a couple of Game Boys setting out that
I'll be there playing Uno.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. but they have this corner of it that's really cool, and it's stylized as like an 80s basement with like the floral, like gross couch and the big like console TV with knobs. And he's got old school like video game consoles hooked up so you can sit on in mom's basement and like play video games. Oof. The concept of it is really, really cool.
I love that.
I took April through because they had the X-Men arcade game and we beat that game together.
Mm-hmm. It was very romantic.
Like that was definitely a moment I had in the late 80s, early 90s, whenever that came out, where I just, about $5 worth of quarters and we all shot through.
Yeah. I was Colossus the whole time. She's like, who's the best one? I'm like, not Colossus.
I didn't know what I was doing, so I kept rotating through characters because I kept pushing the wrong button.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I mean, they had all these different, as April said, different cabinets, and he has a rotating.
He's got like 80 different games, but he only keeps, I think, 20 of them on the floor at a time. So if one goes down, he'll put out another one.
Oh, I feel like it would have been more than that because he probably had like 10 to 12 pinballs. Mm-hmm. And yeah, probably about 15.
It was a fun evening. It was fun to do something like
different.
Out of the ordinary of what we usually do.
So what we're saying, folks, is support your physical media.
Yes.
Go to a retro style music store, spin some vinyl,
play some
retro video games, play some pinball.
Please. I spin 8 tracks.
I felt really old though when we were looking at the toys and stuff that he had on display, and it was like, I had that.
That's Castle Grayskull.
That's vintage as well.
Right?
Yeah.
You're officially vintage here.
Right. Man. And now classic rock is Fallout Boy.
Yeah.
It happens to all of us.
Yep.
But yeah, let's see. If when I retire, I think I would love to work in a bookstore or a museum.
Yeah.
So you'd be working at Kindle.
Yeah. Doesn't feel good, does it? No.
He's right though. He's right. But I would love to just talk books or history. So
you'd be working at Wikipedia.
That's a good point. I would like to volunteer at the library doing like kids programming. I think that would be super fun because I like working with kids and I like books. So
there's e-classes for that too.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I'll do them virtually.
Don't worry. We'll do them all over Zoom and then wheelchair into the middle and play Uno with Larry.
Mm-hmm. By that time, we'll just be virtual reality hanging out from our respective nursing homes.
On our Oculus. Bazoozles or whatever they're going to be called.
Yep. Yeah.
I will say that was one of the things I messed around with was my Oculus. I have a Quest 2 and I messed with that. I did one of those VR haunted houses. It was really good. Like the Quest 2 was a pretty big leap up, and I guess they're about to jump again into like, holy shit, 10 billion 4K.
Yeah,
or whatever,
but it's only like $1,500 for that headset.
Well, don't need it, but I'm saying for right now, you know, it's really impressive. And, you know, another thing that I noticed too, and this could just be, again, you know, old man yelling at sky kind of territory, but like it feels so like, so I was listening the other day to a podcast and they were talking specifically about now how we're ranked so low, especially after the pandemic, when it comes to education. It's staggering. Like we're number 39 out of all the countries in the world on math. Mm-hmm.
That's like, depressing.
Get this. A C is now a 44 to a 64%. Mm-hmm.
Well, how else are you going to get cheap labor?
Yeah, right.
Not only that, but how else are you going to make everybody like feel incorporated and be able to pass on and get to the next grade?
Yeah.
Like we have lowered our fucking standards. Right.
Well, and it's really complicated because speaking as someone who works in the educational system, like, yes, we've lowered standards, but we've also like fast-tracked a lot of what we're teaching kids. Like I am seeing my kindergartner learn stuff that I learned in like first grade. I mean, they're pushing stuff. They expect kids to read in kindergarten. And I remember I was learning letters in kindergarten, you know.
We had the letter people.
Right. And like what Garrett is doing, he's in seventh grade and he's learning algebra that I was learning as a freshman in high school. You know,
I get that.
So they're pushing really, really hard because everything's based on test scores. And if they don't score well on tests, then they don't get the grants. And
which sucks.
Yeah.
So I know we've talked about on here, like I think it was Larry and I both were saying that we don't do well. Mm-hmm. Was that you and I? Like as far as testing, like that's just never something that we were good at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you get like
you can retain all the knowledge,
right?
I did okay at testing. My thing was I never did any of the homework, and then I would do good on the test and then pass,
right?
Yeah, I was always bad at testing. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was just
hated
me.
Homework.
Yeah, it's tough because they're trying to pack like 15 years worth of education in 12 years, and it's just not like that. And the kids who are not as quick to learn that stuff fall behind so much faster than they used to in the 90s because there's no room for error. Like if you fuck up, you're screwed and there's no catching up. Like you're back now, you're behind a grade. And like, it's really tough to keep up with what, like the speed that they're teaching this stuff. They move through lesson plans like weekly. They're on a new topic.
And you know, to kids, you know, or adults really our age who remember going to school. I mean, it is a tough time. Mm-hmm. And I remember distinctly in ninth grade, I had a science teacher who told me I was going to flunk out of college. Well, fooled him because I never went to college.
You should go back to that school and throw it in his face.
Should be like, yeah, top 2% on iTunes. Fuck you. Also, number one download for 1 week in 2008 for fucking Waffles, whatever the illegal pirating site was for my band.
Yep.
Meanwhile, he's like, ah, shit. I've wasted my life in science.
Oh, anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tricky thing. I mean, bullies and all that, it's all evolved. It seems like now the bully has really become like the keyboard bully online. Mm-hmm. And you know, I do feel for these kids because I have a high schooler now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You have a middle schooler and
it's ever present because it's not like you can go home and be done with it. Mm. It follows you and kids are tortured at school and at home and in every way possible. It's so much more psychological than it was, you know,
when we were there. Mm-hmm.
And my kid is in a t-shirt in the bottom of the
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that laundry basket's a great nanny.
It's a crispy t-shirt.
Oh, God. It just stands up in the corner by itself.
Mm-hmm. If
he's tall.
If the
His name
souls,
is Chris.
If the souls of Middle spent cum could be ghosts, there'd be a legion behind
Dada. Mm. Oh, my God.
We love the Beastie Boys.
The Mongolian army came through my t-shirts. Pretty sure. 0.1% of t-shirts are related to me, actually. If you do the math.
You're the Genghis Khan of cum on shirts. Cum.
I'm Genghis cum.
That's awesome.
Oh, God. My God.
Oh, to be 20 again.
Right?
No. Oh, no. No. No.
I'm good on that.
Oh, Lord.
Is there anything that you appreciate more about getting older, though? I feel like sometimes when we talk about like getting older, we talk, get off my lawn, but like...
Not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
That's...
Honestly.
Idealistically, that was me, sorry. That is the thing that I love the most. the get off the lawn mentality
yep.
fucking rules because mm-hmm. it takes over everything and you yeah. literally just go, I don't care.
Yeah. I didn't ask for your opinion.
Exactly.
Phew.
Which I got to be honest with you. I deleted Facebook off my phone. Mm-hmm. Didn't delete my profile, but it was one of those things because I was listening again to another podcast and they mm-hmm. were talking about how much things like social media influence your dopamine release. Mm-hmm. And some of these guys were like, well, and I'm not a Proud Boy or becoming some weird fucking fringes guy, but like mm-hmm. literally it was like, I get it though, because there's a dopamine rush to getting mm-hmm. likes and responses and all that sort of thing.
Right.
It's the exacerbation of like fame as a celebrity, but in a microcosm. Mm-hmm. And I think it sucks. I think that like, when you're with your friends, you should be present. Mm-hmm. And I find it so common, especially with teenagers, to see them all.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing is that a lot, I don't know. I'm just pulling stats out of my ass. I'm making them up, basically. No. I'm just saying a lot of people friend people they're not friends with.
Right.
Which is, my list is just my friends and my family.
It's all people that I've met in real life.
Yeah. And now, especially with Twitter, I am like the Wayne Gretzky of block button.
Yeah.
If you say something that I don't want to, mm-hmm. like, if you, it's
that's
just,
the best part.
Yeah. I just block it. Block. Mm-hmm.
Right. But I totally get what you mean because this past weekend I tweeted something and it got like 200 likes and I think I got like 45 retweets. And I like every time I check my phone, I'm like, oh my God.
I think I saw that. Was it something about your Mythical?
Yeah, it was Mythicon this weekend.
Okay.
And I tweeted something about that and I got a bunch of likes.
That was at the top. I opened up the app that morning mm-hmm. and you were at the top of my feed. I was like, damn, April, what did you say?
I know.
And I'm like, I don't know.
But every time I was like, oh shit, I got more. Oh shit.
Right. It's a boost.
I guess my comments. Like, yeah. And it's no one I know. So like mm-hmm. in theory, I shouldn't give a shit because what do I care if someone likes what I said or retweets it or, you know, it doesn't matter because they're not people I know.
But it feels good. I feel like it feels better though. Personally to me, as I'm looking back on, and this brings me to a question because I've wanted to ask you guys this because mm-hmm. I was thinking about this a lot today. So to me, between the two, if I pull my phone open and it's like, you've gone viral, mm-hmm. you know, I get why that would be fun. Mm-hmm. You know, like if say it's like that clip that we had of the Ben Shapiro clip with mm-hmm. Larry, and he's fucking hysterical right. and it got a ton of likes and like people really liked it. Mm-hmm. I love that. But there's a two-sided to that. Mm-hmm. There's the side of me that's like, my friend was funny. People get to hear it. I love mm-hmm. him. But then there's also the side of it that like, when I'm in the moment with him and he says that funny thing, mm-hmm. there's more gratification to me because right. I'm like, I knew you were this funny. When you fall into this, like, I get to see it organically.
Right.
So there's this weird split between the online and the real. Mm-hmm. And I was listening again to something and they were talking about how if you could go back to before cell phones, say the 80s or say 90s even. Mm-hmm. 90s is kind of the heyday.
There were cell phones in the 90s, though.
Well, yeah, but they weren't like they were
you're talking smartphones.
We're talking smartphones, okay. Yeah. If you could go back to the 90s and say, just call your friends. They don't answer. You leave a message. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Yeah.
I mean, simple as that. And it takes away the likes, the retweets, the internet famous TikTok-y kind of mm-hmm. thing, kind of makes it all about like showing up on time, mm-hmm. listening to your friends mm-hmm. and really being there.
Right.
Would you go back or would you keep the technology? Because one, you can find your phone. Mm-hmm. If your kids have a phone, you can text them. You have immediate emergency response. Mm-hmm. You have Google, which I think in itself is kind of a big deal too. Mm-hmm. Would you do it?
Right. Right well, there.
Or the Uno app.
Right.
Which Larry.
Yeah, Uno.
Got to keep up on my stats. What would you do, Josh?
I'd keep it. Because it's funny. There's some synergy happening here for me personally. And I've been just kind of holding back because I had literally this conversation earlier today.
I think that's a theme with people. Like, we're all kind of into the same media, so maybe we're all thinking somewhat.
Well, no, nothing. I was talking to somebody about how I had heard or read about how teenagers now are actually, there are teenagers that are asking specifically for like razors, phones, because they look at social media as toxic. Mm-hmm. You know, how many stories about in Grand Rapids you were hearing about, oh, this kid went on this kid's Instagram and said something. Mm-hmm. So that kid got pissed off, found him and shot him. Mm-hmm. You know, social media has its perks, but ultimately I think that it's in the hands of people that are immature and have that access and feel like they have that power to be bigger. Mm-hmm. It's a problem.
That allows dummies to find other dummies to make themselves feel like they're not dummies.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and I think a lot of it too, you know, if you talk about going viral, like I feel like 85% of people who go viral, it's because they post something that they did or that someone else did that was harmful, or it's making fun of someone else. Like going viral oftentimes involves a very negative connotation underneath it. Like if someone goes viral, it's because they did something stupid or because they're ugly and trying to dance and can't dance, or like I feel like I see a lot of that, especially on TikTok. Like as someone who gets a lot, or like shows up on my For You page, it's someone who has like obviously has a disability that's trying to, you know, be the same as everyone else, and like the comments are just disgusting. Mm-hmm. And you know, I feel like with social media and with everything online, you kind of get into it what you put into it. So like for me personally, I use Facebook as a means to like share pictures of my kids with my friends and family.
Beautiful.
And I expect nothing but that back. I love seeing all my friends sharing pictures and sharing things that make them happy. You know, the people who are super political, I don't partake in that. I'm not friends with anyone who I've never met before, because I mean, with the exception of a few people, like people who like Pete, who listens to the podcast, I've never met him, but I know him, he's a friend. But you know, I think if you put into it like toxicity, that's what you're going to get back.
True.
Yeah. I just posted a picture of a video of Chewy.
Oh my God. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. He's the cutest little ball of fur that ever existed. Oh my God.
It's the best video I've ever seen.
Like you put positivity, you get it back in return.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people actively want to see nice things, but it's easy when you are anonymous to say things that you wouldn't say in real life.
I think those are broken people.
Yeah,
they've been hurt at some point, and they think hurting others will make them feel better, but it doesn't. So then they have to hurt more people to try to make themselves feel better. And it just circles back around and around and around.
Right. And I think a lot of it too is that internet road rage version that you get where there's no consequence.
Right.
So it's easier to just spew hate.
And there's a lot of that like Chris Chan sort of thing happening where people will flood them with comments, and because they don't know how to process that, they interpret that as positive when it's really like mocking and negative and
gross. That's the thing that I worry about, because that's the my friend Dahmer kind of version of it, where it's like Dahmer was kind of the kid who needed help, and he became a joke in the late 70s, and then went on to become one of the most prolific serial killers of all time. You know, we walk a fine line when it comes to how we raise people and how they're treated. And personally, I worry about this generation the most, because I think, you know, and I think I've said this before, and I'm not like some weird person who's like super woke or anything. I just want people to be okay, but I also know that life is struggle, and we can't just give everything to these kids.
Right.
They have to experience the highs and the lows of life. They have to be there's no getting around bullying.
Right.
But the thing is, there's a difference between digital and physical, you know, these interactions. Because like we know somebody that if they're just, they're always on social media, on all the different social medias, posting on all of them. And if they don't get the interaction that they think they should be getting for everything, it crumbles them. They're just unhappy and like saying that they're bad.
You can't crater to that person though.
Right.
Like everybody, like if I posted a picture, we'll say, and Larry doesn't like it, it doesn't mean I call him and go, what the fuck?
But that's the difference between you and like some other people though.
Yeah, but that person can't fringe everything based on internet love.
Right.
I agree. You shouldn't,
I know, because it's unhealthy. I know. In my heart, I know that the three people here would show up to my 40th surprise birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're going to make time for me and they care about me. That matters more to me than anything I have on my phone.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So
I would agree with that.
To me, it's important. And I feel like I'm kind of stepping into this next phase of my 40s as a dad to be more of like my stepdad, who always told me, put your phone down or put it in this basket when you come into my house. Everybody sit and have a conversation.
Right. Be present.
Be present. You know, and like it just, it ends up devolving so much. It's like, if that one person posts a TikTok while they're there and it doesn't get all the likes from the people that are there, we're not all checking our fucking phones.
Right.
You know? And that's the thing, is that like real friendships mean more to me than any internet, anything. Mm-hmm. And no offense to our listeners, because you guys are great and we appreciate you guys following us on everything. But like,
please like and subscribe.
And also call your grandma. Mm-hmm. Talk to her.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell your grandma to subscribe though.
I understand. Well, maybe I understand everybody who's like, when the phone rings, I never want to send me a text. I understand that idea. But man, if my dad would call me once a week and I didn't have to see pictures of him with his other family that I'm not a part of,
dude,
that's why I deleted Facebook.
Samesies. I haven't spoken to my dad in 2 years.
Exactly.
But he posts pictures of his step granddaughter almost daily.
Block. Yep. I had to block a certain family member who is right wing crazy, who I love, but I just can't read his posts anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
And so that's hopefully the lesson that you folks, and I'm coming to this post pandemic. I think things really slid off and people became so isolated that it became like a task to do anything. And I love seeing you guys go out to baseball games. Mm-hmm. I love that, you know, Larry's out videotaping his dog flip-flopping in the leaves. And I'm happy to be over COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
And I hope you two do not get it.
No.
Nope. We're the two standing, me and April. April and I.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, you look beautiful.
Thank you.
Both of you.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, another segment.
When Jason's at the table, I kept on seeing him look at me while he's with that other girl. Do you think he was just doing that to make me jealous? Because he was totally texting me all night last night, and I don't know if it's a booty call or not. So, like, what do you think? Did you think the girl's pretty? How did that girl even get in here? Do you see her? She's so short, and that dress is so tacky. Who wears Cheetah? It's not even summer. Why does the DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness? After you get in the bathroom, can you go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie.
Shoop Kitchen Studio 2022. Segment two time. Oh, I want to make a quick mention. Casey, also past guest on our beautiful program, she went through COVID during the same time.
Yep.
Because I was like, let me spit in your mouth. Oh, that's turning on somebody. But no, she's good. She's back to normal too. And we both tested negative the same day.
Woohoo!
And I'm glad because she's out there fixing people's roofs and taking off people. Well, her dad owns a bunch of rental properties.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Or owns the houses and people rent. So she's the one that goes out and fixes things.
Nice.
And she's always posting little selfies like, I'm on a roof. Look at me.
Cute.
I'm a Barbie on a roof. But anyway,
Yeah.
I heard, pray tell,
that Larry had a game.
I do have a game. This so is the Hollywood Aaron game.
Hollywood. That's gooey, bally, hooly, Hollywood.
This girl's got a lot of moxie, kid. Green light the picture.
So, I'm going to play the question.
Okay.
You got to guess the answer. Keep a score of your own.
Okay.
And then we'll answer the questions ourselves.
Okay.
Question number one.
Who is your favorite actor or actress?
Ooh, boy.
This is tough because I could see her being real old school, but also could see her being like somebody newer. Mm-hmm.
I could see it being like Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury, or Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter.
I was thinking along the same lines. And, you know, Angela Lansbury just died, so I think I'm going to say that.
Yeah. You know what? I am going to say Daniel Radcliffe because I know how much she loves Harry Potter.
This is your wife's favorite?
Yes.
The Rock.
Probably Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Friends.
So, round the horn. Start with Ryan. Favorite actor or actress?
Gary Oldman.
Oh, nice. Is it just because he's like... What's your favorite thing that he's been in? Yeah.
There's two performances by him that I love. The Professional, when he plays the detective, and Dracula.
Nice.
It's hard to say for me because I feel like that can always change easily. Mm-hmm. But the first name that came to my mind, because everything I've watched him in, I've loved his performance, would probably be Evan Peters.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys finish Dahmer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was really good.
Whoa.
I know, right? Ugh.
Yeah, that answer probably could change in a week, though.
But yeah, I know. I feel like mine is always different depending on what we're watching.
Yeah.
I would say currently, gosh, I don't know. I feel like my default answer is Jason Momoa, but that's just because he's
that's a great answer.
Good to look at.
That not only is he great, he's got presence.
Yeah.
People talk about this all the time. They're like, she's pretty, he's pretty. Mm-hmm. He's not just a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. He's got rugged charm.
Right.
Yes.
You need like a Cary Grant. You need a Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. You need a Chevy Chase or whatever in comedy. You have to have presence.
Yeah.
He's got presence.
Mm-hmm. My other answer that is more based on like actual... skill. Not that he isn't skilled. I'm blanking on her name right now. She was in Midsummer.
Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh. Yeah, I think she's incredible.
Yeah. All time John Malkovich.
Oh, nice call.
That's a great answer. Have you ever watched his Of Mice and Men?
No, I have.
Highly
not.
Recommend yeah. that.
Nice.
He plays a great George.
Question number two.
What is your favorite movie of all time?
Was Aaron... I love Aaron. Mm-hmm. I want to say... I would assume it's something... It's not an Oscar winner by any craziness, but I would say it's a classic. Like... she gives me the vibe of like a Dirty Dancing or something of that ilk.
Yeah.
Is it Pretty Woman?
This is tough because I want to say Harry Potter so bad. Mm-hmm. But again, it's that old soul that she also gives off. Mm-hmm. So I want to say something like Wizard of Oz or Gone with the Wind. I'm going to say Gone with the Wind.
I'm going to say Harry Potter because I feel like every time I talk to her, she's like, I just finished watching a Harry Potter marathon. I'm like, didn't you just do that?
Probably Harry Potter.
Damn it. I had it.
So we have got a
woo, I'm on the board.
On the board? Question number... Our favorite movies.
Yeah.
I mean, Total Recall.
I know you guys are expecting me to say Predator, but I think April and I have determined that my favorite movie is no longer Predator.
No.
It's probably Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Because I watch that like every other month.
That movie was good the first four times he made me watch it, but he literally, it's on. He puts it on all the time, and now I can't stand it.
So it's like comfort food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what Total Recall became for me.
For me, I think my comfort movie is probably The Mummy.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Brendan Fraser. Okay.
What about you, Larry?
The Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mentioned that a couple times.
Can't go wrong.
Once or twice.
So we are on what? Question
three.
Three.
What is your favorite comedy of all time?
With Aaron, I feel bad because now I need to get to know my friend more. Because these are always questions I ask or think to ask. If I had to guess, I mean, it's Harry Potter's not a comedy. It's more of like a wizard thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With comedic moments.
Wizard comedy.
Abracadabra. Mean Girls.
I see her being a 90s comedy fan. And I'm going to say Dumb and Dumber.
That's a good one.
See, and I'm sensing like late 80s, early 90s. I'm going to say Caddyshack.
Good call.
Stepbrothers or...
Stepbrothers.
Stepbrothers, okay. Nice.
Fucking love that movie. Right?
It is good.
Round the horn.
We just become best friends. Favorite comedy. Oh, this is tough. The Jerk.
Oh,
yeah. So good.
I'm going to say... Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Great answer.
Not unexpected.
Yeah.
But not my first guess. My first guess was UHF.
I almost said Spaceballs.
Ooh, speaking of UHF, has anyone seen the Weird Al movie yet?
Not yet.
I heard it's not really an autobiography.
No, it's not.
Like, I was all in, and then I heard it wasn't a biography. I was like, I don't care now.
Yeah, right.
It's Weird Al being Weird Al.
Right.
You know?
It might be worth a watch.
I mean, it could be good, but then you'd have to listen to Weird Al's music. Which, I'm sorry, Weird Al's good if you want to hear good music when it sounds bad.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just kidding. Disagree. I'm kidding. I thought that would Weird ruffle Al's, a few feathers.
Weird Al's great.
They were ruffled, Lawrence.
Yep.
No, I'll probably still see it.
Favorite comedy? Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, that's so good. Which was fun. I was going to say it when we were talking about the internet bullies, when they, at the end, they go and knock on every door and punch everybody out. It was mean online. That needs to happen.
We started watching Clerks 3, but it was in the height of my like panic and chest issues. And at the very beginning, the guy has a heart attack.
Oh shit.
So all I remember is thinking like, this is a terrible movie to watch right now. I was panic inducing from the jump, but now that I'm medicated, I'm sure I can go back and watch it and enjoy it.
I'm going to say Kingpin.
Ooh, nice.
It changes. It changes a lot, but I do like Kingpin a lot.
I got good news for you.
Yes.
The Farley brothers.
Yes.
Just teamed back up with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
They have a new comedy coming out in March next year called Champions, about a basketball coach.
Oh, fuck. Nice. I'm going to love that. Question number four.
What is your favorite Christmas movie of all time?
It's the holiday seasons are coming upon us.
True.
True. I do like, maybe I have bashed Christmas a little too much in the past. I do love a good Christmas movie.
Yeah.
A Christmas Story.
Love it.
No, I think she's more comedy driven. I'm going to say National Lampoon's
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am going to say it's got to be a classic, like the stop motion animation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Step Brothers or...
Whoops, my bad.
I was going to say, wait, what?
Elf.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. It's because of Zooey Deschanel.
It's because of Will Ferrell. She likes Step Brothers. She's going to like Elf. I should have thought of that.
Bernie Mac in that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pre-death?
Pre-death. Yeah, no post-death.
Oh, hell yeah.
There's one of Santa's bags.
Ghost of Bernie Mac.
Body.
Yep.
Talk about a loss. What a funny fucking guy.
His television show was great. Yes. One of my favorites.
My favorite Christmas movie is definitely
a weird choice, but I'm going to say Batman Returns.
Okay.
I love the Batman
movies. I was expecting Die Hard.
I do love that too.
Easy answer, Jingle All the Way.
Yep, I knew that was coming. For me, is The Holiday with
Jack Black.
Jack Black.
I'm going to say A Christmas Story.
Mm. Nice.
I love that. And does HBO Max do a free trial?
I'm sure they
Probably.
Do.
Because good, because A Christmas Story 2 is coming, or not 2, but it's a reimagining of him, but older as an adult.
Oh, nice.
And he, you know, all the friends, like they use all the original actors and
That's
stuff.
That's so cool.
They just put out a trailer for it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. Very Even cool. if it's bad, I'm going to watch it. I don't care.
It's worth it.
Question, we're on 6, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite horror movie?
I figure you guys would get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm on my calm down now with that. I hit the bottom of the barrel. I was watching Ghoulies and fucking Puppet Master.
Yeah.
Master's great.
It's terrible. They're all fucking dog shit. When they start doing those little puppets, and I'm just like, I'd kick all of these into the fucking fan.
Fireplace.
We watched Halloween Ends last night.
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I liked it. I thought it was the best out of the most recent trilogy.
I think so, too.
He does Honestly. Not think that. No. His face definitely said, you're a moron.
No. I was expecting her to be revulsed by it, but I was shocked that we agree. I do. I actually think it's better than it people was, let on.
I told Josh, I said it's super fan servicey, but like, I sort of expect that from a Halloween movie after you've had that many iterations of
Friday
one.
The 13th.
Okay. Yeah. We're looking for Aaron's answer.
Oh, yes. Aaron's answer.
Then we'll talk about
our
favorites.
Yeah.
God, this is tricky because I feel like, and you don't have to give me any hints, but in my head, I assume that Aaron's like a non-horror fan, if that makes any sense. So it's more of like face value. Like, so you're saying Friday the 13th?
Yeah, because that's not like super hyper violent.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I had to say Aaron, Nightmare on Elm Street.
See, and Aaron doesn't strike me as a horror fan, so it would be like diet horror, like Gremlins. Right. I'm going to say Gremlins.
God, that's a great answer.
Scream?
Oh, I'm surprised.
You're correct. She's not a big horror film, but I remember she saw that with a bunch of friends, and I think that was
thriller.
Yeah, I think she really dug that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That was a movie that really flipped the script as far as like making a decent script in a horror movie because it was kitschy. It was like it was the 90s, like fast dialogue, like we're gonna.
Breaking the fourth wall.
It was a Larry precursor to your kind of sense of humor because it was all like, oh, we know what's gonna happen, so fuck
it was
this.
Very self-aware. Yeah. Yes.
Very forth.
Also, oh my fucking God, Matthew Lillard in that movie.
Oh, Lillard.
Oh, he's so hot in that movie.
Well, not only
like,
that.
I know he's the killer, but I'm like into it.
But not only that, but like, he should have had a bigger career.
He should have.
I've always thought that he was super talented. He was great as
Halloween,
Shaggy.
Larry. Mm-hmm. Halloween?
My favorite horror movie, The Thing.
My favorite horror movie is Halloween.
Critters.
Nice.
That is
I
one
love
of the
critters.
Best of the little
All of them. Even when they got shitty, I loved them. Which critters. Was like after the second one, I think.
Yeah, right?
The critters in the army. Critters in Vegas.
Critters Biodome.
What is your favorite TV show of all time?
I'm going to say Friends.
That's a good answer. I'm going to piggyback on that, Friends.
No, it's something. Is it Murder, She Wrote?
Probably Medium. Like the first season of Medium before it got really, really gory and really, really scary. And
wow. Dark. Fair enough.
Probably the first season.
That's a very specific answer. I like it.
I like a good recommendation, too, so maybe I'll check it out if it's on Hulu.
Yeah. I've heard Medium's really good.
Yeah.
Favorite? Television show.
Oh, gosh. That's so tricky for me. You know, as a comfort to go back to time and time again, I'm going to say Eastbound and Down.
That's very good.
I love comedies. I mean, I might deflect to horror way too much, but I am a huge comedy fan.
This is tough. because I, despite what everybody would say about it, I still love Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I love everything about that show, but I've also been watching a lot of Dragon Ball, and that's something I've loved since I was a kid. But I also love stuff like Scrub. You know what? The Office.
Okay. For me, I would say, as far as like scripted television, I would say I Love Lucy. As far as like less, I would say overall, my favorite show is Good Eats with Elton Brown. But that's more like educational.
Maybe it's King of the Hill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
What is your favorite TV comedy of all time?
Favorite?
I kept it in.
Yeah.
Friends? I swear one of these has got to be Friends.
It's
Friends.
It's gotta be. Jennifer Aniston, right?
Yeah, I know. That's what I keep thinking, too. Okay. Oh, yeah. Friends again, I guess.
King of the Hill.
Superstore.
Fact.
Wow.
That's a good show.
Solid choice, Aaron. That's a good one.
I mean, I guess if I'm going to say my favorite comedy show, I mean, Eastbound and Down is definitely a comedy show, but I would also throw out Parks and Rec.
Very good.
Such a good one. NBC comedies are like
those,
top
that's where
tier.
It was at. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to say, even though I just said The Office, it's hard because I have a hard time classifying favorites as far as shows. Right, a movie is one change. Thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I can watch a movie over and over, but a TV show that's a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. I'll say Parks and Rec because I've watched that like three times. Good.
I'm going to say TV comedy is IT Crowd.
I'd go with Scrubs.
Both solid. Solid.
Yeah.
What is your favorite dramatic television show?
What's the...
ER.
Grey's Anatomy.
Ooh.
That's a good one too.
I'll say ER.
I'm going to say Downton Abbey.
Probably medium.
Oh,
I got
again.
Medium. Like okay. The first season of.
I got the same answer. I think question seven, which was,
what is your favorite TV show of all time?
I want to. I think it was Friends.
Oh, for
right. And I have two of the same.
Okay.
So we, Ryan and I both have a point then?
Yeah.
For for comedy?
No, for favorite show. TV show of all time.
Oh, okay. So then what was her favorite? Oh, drama was medium. Yeah. Okay.
My bad.
All right. So what's your favorite?
drama. Television drama.
True Detective season one.
Ooh, solid.
That influenced me in this podcast because that was right around the time I heard about Franklin cover up, and that's basically what it's about.
Drama? Yeah, it's got easily Game of Thrones.
Breaking Bad.
Oh! So fucking good.
I don't even think I really have a
favorite.
Have
you watched a drama?
Probably have, but nothing's coming to mind, so we'll just skip me.
What is your current favorite television show?
Oh,
this is the last question, by the way.
Okay.
For her, this is the one with Big Ed.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called?
I'm not telling you because then I wouldn't get the point.
90 Day Fiance.
90 Day Fiance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was. You can say the same answer.
I know with that.
Can I ask one question to you?
Sure.
Do you guys watch all your TV shows together?
Pretty much.
I'm going to say 90 Day Fiancé. It's good. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, 90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiancé.
That's glory.
Ramifications.
I've been listening to you, Larry, when you talk about
talk best.
That is beautiful.
That's so cute. So
there you go. Thanks. That was
Okay, so we all tied two.
Yeah. Nice. I got one more. Neener.
I love this.
Oh no, we did tie because you guys got Friends, didn't you?
Yes.
Damn it. Well, Well, yep. I guess we all know Aaron equally then.
Yes. So what's your current favorite TV show, Ryan?
I love the first season of The Sandman that came out on Netflix. I thought it was a beautiful show. Like really, really accurate to the comic and like visually stunning and fun and actually pretty poignant.
The comic?
Not very cool.
They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel, aren't they? Like, now they're getting stuff I don't
My favorite
know.
Christmas movie is Batman Returns.
No, that's fine. I get it. It's Batman. I mean, it's, now there's like, it's sweeping up after monkeys guy. And you're like, what? That's a superhero?
After the radioactive monkey bit me, yeah, I just couldn't stop like, okay. sweeping like, up his turds.
No, you want to watch Ant-Man? No, that's not real. What's next, Squirrel Girl?
Yet the biggest trailer.
Oh, that's right real
now,
too.
The biggest trailer in the world right now is to the next Ant-Man movie.
Yep.
I love Paul Rudd, but come on.
Condiment Man.
Yeah?
I'm waiting.
I mean, if we're going to go that route, do it.
Exactly.
An 8-episode Netflix dark procedural about Condiment Man.
Pickle Boy. He's Condiment Man's sidekick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's got a relish.
Condiment Man looks over the scenery.
Sauerkraut's the angry guy.
Yeah. That's
God
the enemy. Yeah.
Damn it. Where is Pickle Boy?
Ooh, do it. Boy. There you go.
There he is.
Knew you could do it.
I need to call my trusty steed Horsey Sauce.
Somewhere Stevie Wonder is fingering a roast beef sandwich.
Oh, God.
That's fun.
Oh.
My 90 Day Fiancé is my
current mine favorite. Is 60 Days In. It's a
spinoff of 90 Day Fiancé.
kind of. No, it's they send
5-minute abs.
Yes. They send real people into the prison system and they have to spend 60 days in jail.
Great. It's like correctional officers, police officers, stuff like
and
that.
And they have to, their goal in going in there is to figure out like the, like why the jail sucks, like trying to find out how drugs are coming in, how to try and find out where weapons are coming in, issues they have with correctional officers and stuff like that. So it's really interesting. It's on Netflix. Yeah. Check it out.
Bye.
Oh, I really enjoyed this last season of House of the Dragon.
So good.
I loved that.
But
Matt Smith.
Daddy Damon.
Yeah, for real.
I watched this last, not really a season, but this iteration of Dragon Ball Super. It's like 132 episodes I watched in like a month.
Yeah.
They're very short episodes, mind you, but so I would say it's probably that because after it was done, I was like, I need more of this. So I bought the Dragon Ball Kakarot game and been, I can't put it down. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said The Sandman.
Yep.
It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good stuff out there to watch. And I think we mentioned this before we started, but what's the story on those cups?
Okay. So I have these cups and they're beautiful. They are from Starbucks. Do you see there's the Starbucks
can
label?
You see them,
yeah,
audience?
See that Starbucks label?
Okay. Let me just say, they look like gemmed Gigantor cups.
Yeah, they're huge, 24-ounce cups. They're tumblers, and I have a pink and purple one and a yellow and pink one. And the story is, this past summer, these were limited edition summer cups that they only sell during the summer. And they are only in this colors for the summer of 2022. And they release cups that look like this with the same like plastic pattern that makes them look like gemstones, like bedazzled. They release them every season. They come out with new colors. And I'm not being dramatic when I tell you that I have lusted after these cups every time I go to Starbucks. And like my friend Michi has a bunch of them. And every time I go there, I'm like, oh, can I use one of your pretty cups? Because I'm like, I love these cups.
I get it.
I think they're so cool. And I think they look really cool. And I'm always looking for a way to like motivate myself to drink more water. So this past summer, I saw the pink and purple one. And I was like, I never treat myself to anything. And I had just done some work for my friend and I had $20 and I'm like, you know what? fuck him. I'm going to treat myself to one of these beautiful cups.
Treat yourself.
So when I went back to work in the fall, this was my go-to, this pink and purple one was my go-to cup. Took it to work every day. It was my trusty, like that's the only cup I've drank out of for the past 6 months. And our cat's in heat. That's what that sound is. So yeah. So this is my favorite cup of all time. So we were unloading the dishwasher and Josh hands me this cup and I said, where did you get this? And he said, I got it. It's clean. I put it in the dishwasher. And I said, no, these are not dishwasher safe cups. Oh,
Josh didn't know this.
And Josh was,
I wouldn't have known it yeah. either.
And he put it on the bottom rack. And
it goes in the dishwasher.
And I was like,
dishwasher safe.
I was like, it's fine. It'll be fine. And I picked it up and I tried to screw the lid on and it had warped. The plastic had warped in the dishwasher. So I, being at the literal end of my rope that day, I burst into tears, like full on. I had a mental breakdown, crying. I had to go like remove myself in the to sit in the bathroom because I was having a moment for the loss of my cup. Okay. So I came out, I'm in tears. I'm texting Michi. I'm like, he fucked up my favorite cup. Like it was super dramatic. Looking back, I needed a little bit more medication. Okay. I realize that now. That does not discredit the fact that this is still my favorite cup. So I was like, it's fine. And he's like, we can get you. I'm like, they were limited edition and they're not going to be in these colors anymore. And I'm never going to be able to get another one. So, unbeknownst to me, my amazing husband went on Amazon
immediately
after it happened because
while she's in the bathroom sounding like a dying, crying turtle.
Yeah.
I'm like, please, if there's any kind of God in the sky or come on, Alanis Morissette, I'm praying to you.
Yeah. So he found this. There were only three left and he ordered me this cup. Now, I was not aware of this. So I went on Amazon and I didn't see the pink and purple one, but I saw the yellow and pink one. And I was so mad. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to order a new one. Right. Because I was deep in my feels. So
this only gets better.
Yeah.
By the way.
So a couple of days go by and I'm expecting this one in the mail and it shows up and Josh is home when it gets delivered.
Now, mind you, to interject. Mm-hmm. I was watching for this purple one. This pink and purple one. And according to when I saw Amazon, the email from Amazon, it was not supposed to be here until like a Wednesday or Thursday, but it's Tuesday and it's all of a sudden there's a thing like your Amazon package has been delivered. I was like, oh shoot, it's here early. Well, that's cool. So I go out and I grab this box and I'm excited. And
he's like, I'm ready to surprise my wife.
And I'm like, I'm going to surprise the shit out of her. And I pull out this yellow and pink one. And I'm like, oh, hell no. They sent the wrong cup. So I'm contacting Amazon.
He's writing like aggressive, angry emails.
I'm so furious. I'm seeing red.
Yeah.
And then April comes home.
And yeah, he goes, okay, I have good news and I have bad news. And I was like, what's up? And he goes, the good news is there's your cup. Bad news is it's yellow and pink. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's the one I ordered. And he's like, wait, what? I was like, wait, what are you talking about? And he goes, I ordered you the pink and purple one. I was like, fuck, I ordered myself the yellow and pink one. So the moral of the story is now I have two of my favorite cups. And I switch them off daily. They're on rotation. And I get so many compliments at work.
Well, the truth is, folks, treat yourself.
That's right.
Just like that pussy that's loose in this house right now.
Treat me.
All right. So well, obnoxious. Anyways, thank you for enlightening us. They look beautiful.
Thank you. The moral of the story is check if it's dishwasher safe.
It doesn't say
it does.
Anywhere.
It literally does. It's right on the bottom. It says dishwasher, not dishwasher safe.
So they make a $4 cup to not be able to wash it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, and do you know?
Sure, it says it on the bottom. You just need a magnifying glass to read it.
Get better eyes.
So the moral of the story is corporate greed.
Mm-hmm. And, do you know how much I paid for the original, this one? $20. I paid $20. And you know how much I paid for this one? $27.
And neither of those don't vibrate? Even care.
No, love them. Great. I would pay $50.
Good God. Well,
welcome to my life.
This has been your therapy episode. We'll have a proper episode next week, and we'll have some fun old Patreons coming up. But thank you for listening. Check out Big Old Britches on Spotify.
Yes, new EP coming out soon.
Ooh!
I know we have some listeners who love the tunes, and mm-hmm. I do too.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Check out TikTok, YouTube. We're always kind of... Did we get
done with TikTok? Man, we got another guideline violation. Like, we're getting like 20, 30 views. We have like 300 followers. So we're just getting shadow banned or something. Yeah. So fuck them.
Yeah.
Goddamn woke companies like TikTok out of China?
Cancel your social media, folks.
Yeah.
Just not it's just us. A giant spy app anyway. Mm-hmm.
It's true. You're sharing your data with everyone in future episode.
This is depressing.
Does anybody have anything they want to throw out there before we end this bad bear?
Can you get your wiener off the table, please?
Oof. I bet somebody who's blind is really good at fingering pussy.
I mean, probably.
Is it when they have a giant dick but come in 3 seconds?
It happens.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. Getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. Getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and the dipper with the mate. Getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fool, getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is stuck in the ass and giving the mate. Getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. Getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. Getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and the dipper with the mate. Getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fool, getting up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is stuck in the ass. Oh, ah.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.